when it's late at night and I need to wind down, I pull out those Federal Election Campaign Act amendments from 71, 72, and 73.
Welcome back to the Facts About PACs podcast. I'm Michaela Isler, NABPAC's Executive Director, and today we're setting the record straight.
That's right, Michaela. When the President of the United States of America delivers the State of the Union address, you best be on guard. And Joe Biden, he brought the fire. David, it was one line in particular in that speech that has us leaning in today.
But 59 years later, there are forces taking us back in time. Voter suppression, election subversion, unlimited dark money, extreme gerrymandering.
That's absolutely right, Adam. You know, right in there between election subversion and extreme gerrymandering was the term dark money. And honestly, when somebody like the president invokes that term on such a high profile stage on such an important night, it can contribute to some misinformation that's out there about the role of money in politics and the way that gets deployed. I think we got to correct that misinformation here and now.
Well, fear not. Coming up in just a few minutes, David and Adam, the facts about PACs that eradicated the darkness and demonstrate the transparency and effectiveness of employee-funded and business trade association PACs.
The Facts About PACs podcast is produced especially for the members of the National Association of Business Political Action Committees. In every episode, we recap this week's NAP activities, share actionable intelligence and best practices, all while connecting the PAC community.
Thanks so much, Adam. Some real quick NAP activities to report out for our members. We have another busy month. Adam, you'll remember we've talked about this a little bit, but we have our big roundtables next week where we will be breaking out by different types of PACs to have very candid and open discussion amongst ourselves on top issues, particularly probably around the elections are probably top of mind for most.
These discussions are incredibly beneficial to everybody who's involved. They are exactly, as you say, candid colleagues talking openly to one another and sharing successes. And David, this is worth the price of admission. Everybody loves these events at NABPAC.
Yeah, I just think that there's nothing better than sitting around with your peers and getting the best in class advice that's out there, right? Is there anybody like you at your organization? For many PAC directors, the answer is no, right? I'm the sole practitioner of this art, of this science. That's why getting together with your peers at NABPAC and hearing from NABPAC experts is so beneficial.
Yeah, and yesterday we had another one of our Let's Talk webinars. It was around party designations and allowing your donors to choose a party that they'd like their dollars to go for, and really engaged audience, lots of good discussion. But in the spirit of being transparent, it allows your members to be a little bit more engaged in where their dollars go.
Yeah, everybody likes choice. And whether it's the choice to support a charity through a matching gift program, whether it's the choice to designate to a certain party, I think when you give people a higher degree of control of their dollars, they feel empowered. They feel like they're at the table. And you've got to make an individual decision about how your strategic goals, what is the PAC there to do, align against the ability to give your employee contributors that level of control. But it's worth being informed before you implement a policy like that. So, you know, I was watching the State of the Union, as I always do, in the back of a Southwest Airlines seat flying across the country as it was meant to be seen. And, you know, here's this phrase, dark money, that's just, you know, ricocheting around the room. You would think from the way that people talk about certain categories of political spending, that not only is it undermining democracy, not only is it shortchanging our citizens, but I'm about ready to say that dark money has made Kate Middleton disappear. I think we can lay pretty much every modern grievance at the feet of these organizations, right? And so I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about this, and I'm also thinking about what is a PAC director supposed to do? We have transparent, accountable political action committees that are operating the same way they have for 50 years, that are operating in a way that you can look inside of their operations, their transactions, their financials, and you know what's happening. But over and over, elected officials, candidates on both sides of the aisle are pounding and pounding and pounding on dark money. And I think it has this blanket effect of all money in the political process is bad.
I agree, David. And I think that's why we really have to define terms, because if you're a PAC director and anyone around you, above you, has got a question about whether that's me, how about a full-throated no? and some basic facts about what that constitutes. Because when you hear those terms, what you're really hearing is funds that are raised for the purposes of influencing elections by nonprofit organizations that are not required to disclose the identity of their donors. And this gets into the weeds, and sometimes facts are complex, but the important thing to know is 501c4 organizations and others that don't need to disclose their donors, they are called dark money. We are employee-funded and business trade association PACs. We are highly regulated. We have very clear limits and transparency.
Yeah, Adam, this is a case where you need to light a candle and not curse the darkness. You can absolutely be a source of good information, right? And so I was thinking about this. What are some things that I would do, right? It's the heels of this speech. It's a presidential election year when there is going to be quite a bit of media coverage of money in politics. Much of it will have a negative patina, right? Much of it will have a, this is bad and we need to get rid of it sort of tone. So what do? Because you run a PAC, right? And the first thing I think you have to do is you have to be a source of good information. I think professionals in the community sit around and we say, okay, I'm a graduate of Michaela's GSPM class and I've gone to the Practicing Law Institute and I've been doing this for 5, 10, 50 years. I know what these categories of spending are. Now put yourself in the position of your employee contributor, right? They're out there baking bread, selling houses, building airplanes, whatever it is that they do every day inside your organization. Do they understand the dynamics of money in politics? Do they know the difference between a 501c4, between a independent expenditure only committee and a separate segregated fund? Don't assume that they do. They probably don't. And you've heard me say it over and over on this show, be the source of accurate political information and education for your members. That's the expectation of you when you sit in that chair. So if you need to do a civics 101, if you need to do a money in politics 101, I would get that information out into your ecosystem because you know people are hearing, let's not call it inaccurate, but misleading information from other sources.
I think David, too, I know as the former professor of the Graduate School of Political Management's PACs in Congress class, I think this is why it's so important we also lead with a little bit of history of PACs and remind folks that this was the original reform that was put in place to allow small dollar donations to come together in the sunlight, all reported, limited in nature. And it was a positive reform. This was a reform that really was aimed at protecting small dollar donors and protecting against potential fraud and overreach. And so I think my students, and I don't know about yours, but I'm sure that was the same, often are surprised to learn that they were actually seen. It was a positive reform that took place nearly 50 years ago. I think that's important to distinguish.
Yeah, I think, look, I'm like everybody else on this show, right? When it's late at night and I need to wind down, I pull out those Federal Election Campaign Act amendments from 71, 72, and 73, right? And I go through them and it's calming for me like it is for most people. But guess what? I know that I'm kind of unique in that regard. I know that that's not everybody. And I would just say repetition, repetition, repetition. You have got to keep telling your people on a regular basis, here's what our organization is and here's what it is not. If you're waiting for the Q&A section of a PAC pitch and for someone to put their hand up and go, are we a super PAC? I think you've waited too long. You got to have an answer to that question, but be proactive and repeat and repeat and repeat this educational stuff that quite frankly lays on your desk as a PAC director.
Yeah, I think it's very important to lead with sort of the distinction, particularly between super PACs and separate segregated funds. I see it in my class in the middle of it right now. Everybody wants to talk about super PACs. There's so much misunderstanding around super PACs. We often get conflated with them. And the reality is we are completely separate in how we're operated and regulated.
Yeah. And, you know, there's this cynicism that can creep into our discussions when we talk about this, right? The reality is there just hasn't been much change in the law since the Citizens United decision, right? That was the last big pivotal Supreme Court case that came down. So we've had 14 years to live with it and to see the environment evolve. But the voices that criticize that decision and its results have gotten louder and I think more pervasive. And so what happens is I don't like the system, maybe I'll take my ball and go home kind of attitude. And I have to say participation is, I think, where a PAC professional has to default, which is to say, hey, guys, here's the way that politics works. Here's the way that political involvement works. If you are not at the table, you are on the menu. We're not going to engage in unilateral disarmament. We have a structure to participate. It's level, it's transparent, it's fair. That's why we choose to participate. And you can be upset with the current state of things. You can be unhappy with an ad that you see on TV or the way a candidate kind of winks at you when they say, I'm not connected to this committee in any way. But if those feelings turn into, I'm not going to play and I'm not going to do anything, I think you're tying one hand behind your back in Washington. And let's remember what the mission of your PAC is, right? To support candidates who share your business and policy interests. Have those things stopped being important because you're mad at the way we put money into the political system? Probably not.
And getting everybody up to speed on the most basic fundamental elements of our election. How to register, when to vote, who's on the ballot. That all precedes understanding the candidates that make the most sense and are championing the things that make a real impact on your community, your business, your customers. And it's important to make sure that everybody has all of that information, Michaela.
Yeah, and I would just say for our members in particular, I mean, we have a ton of resources in our resource library to help with some of this messaging and education and communication with your eligibles around the differences between 501c4 money, between super PAC money, you know, what those differences are. We've even created a video that can certainly help folks illustrate the differences because it is complex. It's not the easiest thing. And we have the history of PACs. There's a lot of things that our members can pull from in our resource library to help them drill this down and make it, you know, sort of an easier conversation to digest.
Well, following up on David Shield's point, what can you do? You can hit share on this episode because that video that you mentioned is really the genesis story of this podcast. It's about 80 seconds long. It's called Facts About PACs. Let's give it a listen.
I'm a PAC donor too. I know that voting is the most important way for me to participate in our political process.
True, but it's not the only way to make my voice heard.
Right. Giving money to support candidates and policies is another way that all of us can take action.
Campaign fundraising is protected by the First Amendment, and it's a powerful way to keep candidates accountable.
Where I work and at businesses across the country, employees give voluntary small contributions through PACs to help candidates who understand and support the issues that affect our industry, our customers, and our livelihoods.
Mine too. Working together with my coworkers makes a bigger impact.
Recently, some candidates have decided to reject employee-funded PACs as a way to gain political advantage with the voters.
That's their right. They can run any kind of campaign they want.
But when candidates say they won't accept employee-funded PAC money, people like me hear, my voice is invalid because of where I work. They somehow think my company is giving the contribution.
I know, but companies can't and don't give direct contributions to candidates for federal office.
Right, because that would be illegal.
It's one of the biggest myths in politics today. PACs are funded with voluntary contributions from people like you and me.
It might make a good soundbite to slam employee-funded PACs, but it makes for bad policy. Get the facts
about PACs.
Go to factsaboutpacs.com.
Adam, really incredible stuff. Probably my favorite animation since DuckTales, and equally informative and sort of joy bringing for all of us. Look, this is something people got to be smarter about. That's why NADPAC produces these educational materials. Like, that's why we put this stuff out there into the ecosystem, is we shouldn't expect people to understand these topics, right? In Washington, who really understands campaign finance and money in politics? Elected officials and candidates? No, I wouldn't say so. The vast majority of federal workers? Nope, I wouldn't go for that. Vast majority of American voters? No. A small cadre of PAC professionals, mostly NADPAC members, a small cadre of election lawyers, they understand these issues. And what we got to be careful of is this insular view, right? That's my circle of people. And so everyone feels that way. You should flip that around and say, I'm in a small group of people that truly understand this issue. It's my job to get the correct information out there.
And I say, let the sun shine. David Shield, Adam Belmar, thank you both for being with me today. And thanks to everyone listening. Subscribe and meet us right back here for more Facts About PACs.